So tonight I'm going to share a little message with you from principally from John chapter 8. Question that rises out of this passage is, are you a slave or are you a son? And when I say a son, I mean generically son or daughter, right? Yes. Are you a slave or are you a son? And we see the teachings of Jesus that you're either one or the other. You're either a slave or a son. And you want to be which one?
Oh, I want to be a son.
Okay.
You're listening.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah.
Okay, let's go
then. So John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31. These are very, how many times have you heard that word? The truth will set you free.
You've heard it
thousands of times, probably. Yeah. You know, truth will set you free. People quote Jesus all the time. They don't know who they're quoting, right?
True.
These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son remains there, abides there forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So that's the little passage of scripture. There's so much in John 8 before and after, and it's very difficult for me to leave those parts out. But I want to maybe just bring an emphasis on a point here tonight. As the Jews were listening to the teachings of Jesus, and some of them were saying, yeah, it's pretty good stuff. But Jesus was saying, now listen, you've got to remain in my word. You have to understand what I'm really teaching you here. It's so important, because he said, when you abide in my word, then you're going to become my disciple, and you're going to discover the truth. You're going to start to follow me, and then the truth's going to set you free. So the answer that comes back is this. We're Abraham's descendants. We were never in slavery to anybody. So how can you say we will be made free? So somewhere along the line, there was a disconnect with the Jews at that time, because they thought, because Abraham is our ancestor, we're, you know, tickety-boo. We're A-OK. We got no problems. We've got Abraham as our ancestor. It didn't matter how they lived. It didn't matter how they conducted themselves, how they taught and how they walked. None of that mattered. What mattered was we have an ancestor named Abraham, so we're cool. It's kind of like, well, you know, I'm French, so, you know, or I'm Scotch, or, you know, I'm a McDonald, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. You know, God doesn't take stock in those things, does he? But that's what they were relying on. They were relying on their ancestry. They were relying on promises that were given to Abraham over 1,000 years before.
Some say I'm a Catholic, I'm all right.
Yeah, some say that. Some say I'm a Baptist and I'm all right. I remember being at the river fishing Gasparo, and I was attending the Baptist church. I'd been going there for a couple of years, and a guy showed up to get a feed of Gasparo, and he said, boy, I'm awful glad you're coming to my church. And I said, I've been going there 2 years, and I never saw you once. Oh, well, he said, I got to, my back is a little bit sore, so I don't really go. But he said, I'm glad you're going there. I said, you know what? I said, it's not going to be much help to you. I said, are you saved? Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, I don't know anything about that. But he said, I'm a Baptist. I said, he said, if that's any help. I said, it's no help at all. It was no help at all. It was obvious the man had no relationship with Jesus Christ. So it was kind of an interesting conversation. But you see, so many people are depending on so many things, and they think, well, yes, I belong to this religion, or, you know, I do this, or I'm a pretty good person, and I'm this, or I'm that, or, you know, my ancestry, my mom and dad, you know, they were believers in God, so you must have rubbed off on me. It's going to be okay. And none of those things matter. What has to matter is what is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus was teaching them, they were falling back on something else and thinking, hey, this is going to win me points. We're Abraham's children. We were never in bondage to anyone. But that's not even true, because the children of Abraham were in bondage for how many years in Egypt? 400 years. They were in slavery. 400 years in slavery. So Abraham's children knew what it was to be in slavery too. But they were so proud of their position that they could not humble themselves to see that they were not as free as they thought they were. Indeed, so they said to him, "How can you say you will be made free?" in John 8:33. And Jesus answered them. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you." So he gets to the crux of the matter. He does away with, you know, their idea that because we're descendants of Abraham, we're okay. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Now think about these words. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Have you committed sin?
Yes.
Huh? No. Has everybody committed sin?
Yes.
So what is he actually saying to them?
We're all slaves.
Everybody's a slave to sin unless I set them free. Okay, let's cut out all this other stuff. You're Abraham's descendant. Well, you know, I went to college, or I got lots of book learning, or I never got any book learning, but I'm a really smart person, or it doesn't matter, or I'm only young, or I'm old, or I've got, I'm pretty wise, or I traveled all around the world, that must count for something, right? Or I've got a lot of money, or I've got no money. None of this counts. What counts is this: am I a sinner, and am I a slave to sin? Am I a slave or am I a son? That's what matters. Does you see how clear Jesus cuts to the chase here and says, hey, this is the real crux of the matter. Do you understand? I'm offering freedom. That's what Jesus was offering them. He was offering them freedom. Here's what he says: you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Jesus says, my passion, my desire is that people be set free. And they said, well, we don't need to be set free because we're not slaves. And Jesus says, oh, you're not a slave? Listen, here's what I've come to set you free from. It says the angel that spoke to Joseph when the angel appeared to Joseph, telling him, hey, listen, don't be afraid, take Mary to be your wife. He said, you'll call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to save us from our sins, and the consequences of our sin puts us in slavery. People are slaves to sin.
Even little sin. I mean, it doesn't matter if I do one little sin, I lie, and someone else is just sinning all the time.
Okay,
it doesn't matter to God.
Yeah, so because what does it say there? Whoever commits what?
A sin.
Sin.
Yeah,
is a slave to sin.
Yeah.
That's right.
We've got the categories all out. Okay. Oh, there. There's bad sinners over there. I'm a good sinner. Is there such a thing as a good sinner? Really?
I only lie a little bit.
Yeah.
They lie all the time.
That's
no,
right.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
So I become, in my mind, I become a good sinner, and everybody else, those people become bad sinners. So I'm not so bad. So I don't need to be set free because I'm not in slavery to anybody. Well, yes, you are. If you sin, you're a slave. Now that covers the human race, does it not?
Yes,
pretty safe
does.
In saying it covers yeah. the human race. And if it covers the human race, then the whole of the human race needs the person to release them from the slavery that they're in. They need to be bought out of slavery.
Yeah.
So here we see Jesus saying, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And then he wants to give the difference between a slave and a son. He wants them to know. They say, oh, we're Abraham's children. But you know what? The most important thing was to be God's child. Now, some people think everybody is God's child. We're going to look at that for a few moments from the scripture. You want to say something?
Yeah. I have written here, and you mentioned this before, God has no grandchild. Everyone has to come to Jesus personally. You will not come to Jesus because of a father or a grandfather.
Yeah.
So, I mean, being
absolutely
Abraham's,
that doesn't mean that there can't be, you can't have influence from a father or a mother or whatever.
Yeah,
but in the sense that God has no grandchildren, is that God has children, which means every individual needs to come to Jesus
right.
Christ.
Yeah.
I can't get in on my father's coattails.
That's right.
I have to come in on the blood of Jesus Christ. I have to come in through him because no man comes to the Father, Jesus said, but by me.
You know, a picture that I get out of this is that Jesus is talking to them and he's trying to teach them spiritual truths.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But in their mind, they just keep thinking physical. They can't get off the physical.
Physical
yeah.
slavery.
That's yeah. true. Yeah.
So they are in bondage to that sin, the physical self.
Yes. Absolutely. And let's say if they said, well, you know, we're very esoteric. We do a lot of praying.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't matter either. Even if it was so-called spiritual things, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
If you're still committing sin, if you're living in sin, if you're bondage to sin and you're a slave of sin, and he says, here's the difference between a slave and a son. He wants them to understand. The difference between a slave and a son is a slave doesn't abide in the house forever. Slave is there just temporarily, right? Slaves come and slaves go. And you have to understand the word slave is often used as a person, as a servant in a household. If you were living in a house and you were working for the people of that house, you might be there for 5 years, might be there 10 years, but, you know, eventually you'll probably be let go.
Yeah.
But if you're a son, then you belong to that house. Then you're an heir to that house. Then you're part of that home or household. And so he says, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son, now he speaks about himself, right?
Yeah.
He's using an illustration saying, if either you're a slave or you're a son, and here's the difference between a slave and a son. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of freedom is he talking about? Freedom to become a child of God. Freedom to come from slavery to sonship or daughtership. This is what Jesus is offering, and he was offering it to the people of that day, and he's still offering it to people today, for you to be free to become a true child of God. So when we look in the scriptures, we discover that, I don't want to, you know, burst a bubble, but I know Charlie Pride used to sing a song, we're all God's children, his next of kin. Maybe some of you heard that song,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'll tell you what, in spiritual matters, it's not true. If it was true, then these words in the Bible would be wrong. Here's what it says in John 1:12. But as many as received him, speaking of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
to them he gave the right to become the children of God.
Right.
Now, if you were already a child of God, you wouldn't need to become a child of God, would you? You see what he says here? He says, if to as many as received Jesus Christ, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. And who are the ones that receive him? The ones who believe in his name. Which were born, not of blood, not by your ancestry, right? Abraham's my father. Not of the will of the flesh. So it's not willpower. Well, I'm determined that I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow God. God doesn't need your determination. It doesn't work very well anyway. Not of the will of man. Nobody else can make you a child of God, but from God. It's of God. It's a birth that comes from God. We talked about that this past Sunday night. Was it this past Sunday night? I'm running out of nights. Born of God is what he says, which were born of God. All the negatives, take them out, and you find out who are born of God. And to be born of God is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, by receiving Jesus Christ. You move from slavery to sonship as soon as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You move from slavery to sonship. You see, in one sense, physically, as far as creation is concerned, yes, we are all God's children by creation.
But not by relation.
Yes. And so in Acts 17, he says, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And he's determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So they should seek the Lord in the hope they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him, that is in God, we live, we move, and we have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stones or something shaped by art and man's devising. And Paul was speaking in Athens, and he was speaking to the people there about what it was. They had a temple to an unknown God, and he was referring to that and saying, listen, the true God is not made of sticks and stones. The true God is the creator of all things, and we are all his children by creation. In that sense, yes. But God wants you to be his child by relation. And that is where we come to this passage here. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. because the human race is sold into slavery because of sin. And that sin causes us to be slaves instead of sons. And what does God do? He says, I've come, Jesus says, I've come to set you free. I've come to bring the truth to you. And, you know, the first truth that he was trying to bring to these people is that they were sinners and they didn't like it. A lot of people don't. They don't like the idea that you're a sinner. But if you don't know that you're a sinner, then you don't know that you need a Savior. Yeah. Why would I need a Savior if I'm not a sinner? I'm okay. That's what they were saying. We're okay. We're Abraham's children. We're not in slavery. We're good. Mm. What do you got to offer us now? And in the meantime, he was telling them, I'm offering you the privilege or the right to become one of the children of God. We look in the book of Romans, you find this passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these ones are the sons of God or the daughters of God. And then we have this beautiful passage about adoption. He said, you did not receive the spirit of bondage or slavery again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Papa, or Daddy. Because what's happened is God has given you his Holy Spirit. When you trust in him, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God within you causes you to cry out, Papa, Daddy. Causes you to cry out because now you belong to Jesus Christ. Now you belong to the family of God. And in belonging to that family, you're in a good place, a wonderful place where the truth sets you free, where you see yourself as you are, you see God who he is, and you become a child of God. So then what happens is that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, is what it says, Romans 8:16, that we are what?
Children.
We are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Mm-hmm. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together.
I'm sorry, it said the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit, you know?
With our spirit, and yes.
The picture that I'm getting is that, you know, God is saying, he's talking spiritual matters.
Yes.
And I get the feeling that these people are stuck on the physical and they just can't comprehend the physical. And I think that's spiritual. Where the battle is at this point, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this is in Romans here. This isn't the same passage.
Oh, no,
but
I mean,
it's
I'm
the same concept,
of
yeah.
Wall,
yeah.
And God is penetrating it with his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, you got to have the spirit, you know.
Yeah.
And these people are just stuck in the physical, and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
well, the reason why they're stuck in the spiritual is because they don't think they're sinners.
Right.
They don't think that they're sinners. So whoever people are, I mean, I've met people who say they're very spiritual, who aren't interested in temporal things. They, you know, follow all kinds of spiritual teachings, whatever that might be, but they don't follow Jesus Christ. And they think, okay, well, you know, I've got my own spirituality. You've got your own spirituality. So my spirituality is as good as your spirituality. And I have to say to them, no, it's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about your sin. It's about the fact that you're a slave to sin. And because you're a slave to sin, you're lost. And so whatever the reasons why, what people end up with is you're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either a slave or you're a son. So it's one or the other. No matter who you are, no matter where you are on the entire planet, people are either slaves or sons. Or sons and daughters. I keep saying qualifying that. And so I guess I'll leave you with that question. Which are you? Are you a slave or are you a son or daughter? But what a wonderful thing to be able to say, yes, I know I'm a child of God. I know that I have received Jesus Christ, and because I've received him, I have been given the right to become a child of God. Now, you don't say that boasting. You don't say that, well, you did something wonderful. You say, Jesus did something wonderful. Christ died for my sins because it is my sin that kept me a slave, but Christ died for that sin so that I no longer have to be a slave to sin. But instead of being a slave, instead of having bondage and fear that comes with it, now I receive the spirit of adoption where now I'm crying out, Papa, Daddy. I've got a father now looking after me. I've got someone who loves me. I've moved from one camp to the other. I've moved from the camp of slavery to the camp of sonship or daughtership. And that's what Jesus Christ offers us. That's what he wants to bring into our experience. But because of sin, these folks didn't see it. Now, you remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, and I've referred to this not that long ago, I think. We saw that the son had ruined himself, right? He was eating pig food, and he suddenly realized something. He said, I'm going to rise, I'm going to go to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants, right? So here we have the contrast. He says, I'm not fit to be a son. I'm only fit to be a slave. I'm only fit to be a servant. That's all. And so he arises and he comes to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Obviously, he wasn't vegetarian. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You see, this man said, I'm not worthy to be a son of God. There was a humility that had come upon him, which is a good thing.
Yes.
But he also didn't understand the depth of the Father's mercy. That in spite of the fact that he had sinned, and because he had sinned, he only deserved to be a slave. Jesus Christ, anybody who receives Jesus Christ, receives instant sonship. Instant sonship, instant privileges of being a child of God. Instantly, all of your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine how I was so amazed at that when I first became a believer, that I knew that in the sight of God, all the sins that I committed, and there was a pile of them, were all wiped away. Mm. And that I was clean as a newborn baby in the sight of God. Mm. That feels pretty good. What's that?
Quite a burden lifted.
Oh, what a burden lifted. My sins were gone. That Christ had died for them and they were gone. And that he was sufficient not only for the sins I had committed, but he's sufficient for the ones I will commit. Because if he's not sufficient for them, I'm cooked all over again. But thank God, when he died for the sins of the world, he died for the sins of the world. And when he died for my sins, he died for all of them. If he died for 999 million, which is probably about as much as I committed, and he left one out, I'm finished. I'm done. But Christ died for all my sins. And I thank the Lord that I had the privilege of being a child of God. Why? Because I've received Jesus Christ. Not because I'm better than anybody else. Not because I'm worse than anybody else. But just because I'm a sinner who has been saved by the grace of God. That's all. And this son who thought, this boy who thought, you know, I'm cooked. I could only be a servant. I could never be a son. What does the father do? He gives him every emblem of sonship. He puts the best robe on him. He puts the ring on his hand. That ring was a sign that he belonged to that family, that he was a son in that family. He put sandals on his feet, and he killed a fatted calf, and he said, my son is alive again. And so we can see that the pictures that God gives to us in the Word of God is a picture of God wanting us to experience sonship, wanting us to be part of his family. And he's reaching out there to the Jews at that time, and he's telling them, I want you to be free. I want you to experience the freedom that I can give to you. And they said, we don't need any freedom because we're not slaves. Mm-hmm. So often that is a problem that Jesus come up against that problem. We come up against that problem often. I do come up against, because people don't know they're lost. And so lovingly, I try to teach them, well, you are a sinner and your sins have got you in serious trouble with God. And you need Jesus Christ. You need the forgiveness of your sins. You need deliverance from the slavery that you're in. But sometimes it takes time, and it did with the Jews. Some of them did believe, but many of them refused to believe. And by the time we get to the end of John chapter 8, many of these Jews, you know what they were doing? Picking up stones and wanting to stone Jesus. They did not like his message. He goes so far as to say, no, after this, and I'm not going to go through all of that tonight, he goes so far as they're telling him, no, no, we're Abraham's children. We're never in bondage to anybody. You know, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said to them, no, I'll tell you who your real father is. It's the devil. As whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And if you're going to, and so he begins to tell them that they're not Abraham's children, they're the devil's children. And the reason why we can be called the devil's child is because they sin like the devil did. Our idea, well, if somebody's a devil's child, they're demon possessed and their head turns around backwards and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not the case. All you have to do is sin. That's yeah. all you have to do. Yeah. Man, that's not hard to do. You know, it's not complicated. Yeah. We don't need training for that one. Yeah. I don't anyway. Yeah. Right? It comes naturally to us because of our sinful nature, which we inherited from Adam, because he chose to rebel against God, and we need deliverance, and Jesus Christ has come to set us free. Because here's the crux of it, as we just sum up here in John 8:34. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, but whoever the Son makes free is absolutely free indeed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to set people free. And many of us here can testify, I know that I've been set free by the grace of God. I know that I'm a child of God. They can agree that I've been adopted into the family of God, like it says here. They receive the spirit of adoption, and we end up crying out, Father, Papa, Daddy. We've entered into a whole new relationship with God. Praise the Lord. That's what he offers us. And that's good stuff. Very good.
Amen. Thank you.
A slave or a son or daughter of God. Good to be on the son and daughter side of things, isn't it? Because it is one or it is the other.